Hey y'all, thanks so much for joining us today on Wisdom's Echo. This is Parker. Today, I just really feel a different kind of grace, a greater measure of Yahweh's grace for us to really lean into what He is doing in our lives. And I know that I'm talking to people who are hungry for more. You know, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast, you wouldn't be engaging with us if you didn't want all that Yahweh has for you. However, I have just been challenged this year to look from a different perspective and really just value what Yahweh is doing in our lives. And in the center of this message today could really be summed up in just this one statement. And it's that you can find Yahweh in everything, and you can still miss Him in anything. So if we can find Yahweh in everything, how in the world can we miss Him in anything? And I feel like sometimes I have had a tendency to really just overcomplicate things, if I'm being honest. It's the fact that I feel like everything has to be extra special with music and lights and costumes and not necessarily all of those things. I'm just trying to be silly about this. However, I feel like sometimes I look for Yahweh in the complexities of life and miss Him in the simplicities of life. And my encouragement today is that we don't continue to live our lives and miss Him in the everyday situations, the everyday occasions. And so I want to go back, and we're going to look in Exodus chapter 3 today. This is a story I'm sure that many of you are already familiar with. You've heard this a million times. You're very familiar with the outcome. But this is an introduction where Yahweh presents Himself to Moses. And so I just want us to look at this. So in Exodus chapter 3, I'm going to read this out of the New King James Version. It says this in verse 1. It says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, which was the mountain of God." This could also be translated as Mount Sinai. "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. And so he looked, and behold, the bush was burning without fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, 'I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why does the bush not burn?'" So verse 4 says, "When the Lord saw that, he turned aside to look. And God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here I am.'" This is Moses responding. "Then he said, 'Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover,' he said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.'" Excuse me. "And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, 'I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.'" And so this is a part where he just basically questions his own identity and says, "Yahweh, like, who am I to go before Pharaoh that you can bring them out?" And the Lord reassures him and said, "I will certainly be with you. This will be a sign that I've sent you. And when you've brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." In order, in essence, he's saying, "You will return to this place." And so Moses said, "Indeed, when I come, basically, what will I say? That what is the name of the one who sent me?" And this is where Yahweh reveals himself. And he says, I am who I am. And what I love about this passage is not that Yahweh identifies himself with different characteristics and different attributes and different testimonies even of the things that he had done. He just says, I am who I am. And I feel like what happens for you and I is that Yahweh extends an invitation for us to be able to come into a place of wonder, where he reveals himself and we are captivated simply by the adventure of who he is. So I want to go back and look at a few things here. The very first thing was that Moses saw the angel of the Lord, and then that in turn allowed the voice of Yahweh to come forth and speak to Moses through this bush. Now, what I want you to understand about this is that it was not a supernatural occurrence for this bush to combust or catch on fire. Atmospheric conditions denote that this was a place that was extremely dry and extremely hot, much like Mobile, Alabama in the latter part of the summer. We're talking like late July, early August. Like, it is not uncommon for things to be hot. But what happened here was not that this bush caught on fire. It wasn't the light that drew Moses in. It was a light that did not bring consummation. Like, he did not consume the bush that he allowed himself to be manifested through. And this is a big deal, because I believe that you and I are meant to carry and make the announcement of the voice of Yahweh. We're meant to carry his image. We're carriers of his presence. We allow ourselves to project the light from within. But I just want to remind you that this light is not meant to come in and consume. It is meant to direct people to the light of who Yahweh is. He is a good, loving Father. And I think that so many people take this as an opportunity to say that, yeah, I'll be that voice in the wilderness, or I'll make the declaration of who Yahweh is, but it's going to come at a cost. And that cost may be that I consume this bush. Look, it's not about that. This brought no destruction. This voice brought no destruction. But what I love was that Moses was able to hear the voice in something that was seemingly common. It was not a rare occurrence for a bush to combust and catch on fire. But when he in turn honored with his heart and with his time this bush that it was not being consumed, this is where Yahweh began to reveal himself. And I have just felt like there is such an urgency for you and I to not continue to go through our daily routines without acknowledging that Yahweh is projecting and manifesting himself in a way that does not consume and bring destruction. It's meant to capture our attention. He was first drawn to the light. It was in a flame of fire, so it was in this light. And then as he began to shift his focus, Yahweh began to speak to him and said, here I am. Now he first said, do not draw near to this place. Take off your sandals, for this is holy ground. And I used to think, like, why in the world would Moses not know here on Mount Sinai that this place was holy ground? And I think that the formula is not found in a location. It's found in a degree of presence. And so this place was not holy ground because Mount Sinai was a holy place. This place was a holy ground because this is where Yahweh would abide. This is a place where he was present. And I feel like there will be moments throughout the coming weeks where you and I begin to walk in our business place, when we walk through our homes, when we walk through our churches, when we walk through our grocery stores. I want this to be a place that happens when I walk through a hospital, where the presence of Yahweh is manifested in such a great degree that it becomes defined as a holy place. Now, what was significant here about Mount Mount Sinai is this is where the invitation to the adventure was given to Moses. However, we come full circle and Moses comes back and tries to mingle the law here and be able to write the Ten Commandments down and carve them out in a tablets of stone. And that's another warning that you and I never allow the place where the adventure was extended to us to become a place of legalism and law, because that is not what it's about. Yahweh heard the cry of his people and he came to Moses, and Moses second-guessed himself. And he was like, I'm not worthy to do this. And Yahweh says, don't worry, Moses, I'll be with you. And he says, well, who are you? And he says, I am that I am. I am who I am. This is Yod Heh Vav Heh. These are the words of Yahweh being everything that we have need of. And I think that sometimes we may walk past burning bushes in our daily lives focused on our own needs and focused on our own desires and hopes and dreams and things that distract us from the one who can bring fulfillment and completion to these hopes and dreams and even wants and needs. But that is not it, because Yahweh draws us to himself in order that we may fall in love with him first. And I know this sounds so basic and so elementary, but I'm telling you that if you will allow this to get in your heart, man, when your eyes catch his eyes and the flame within your heart begins to burn to a degree that same flame burns in his eyes, I'm telling you it's a game changer. And you can try to simplify the gospel as much as you want, but I promise you that this is not a love that comes after you for doing the wrong thing. It is an extravagant, overwhelming love that puts everything that keeps us out of the fulfillment of his loving embrace in its own crosshairs. And Yahweh comes after that with a great degree of aggression. He doesn't want things to remain in between us and him. And he does. I mean, like he's not going to just destroy these things to make it easy. Like it has to be a choice for you and I. And I used to wonder, like, what does passion look like? How do I become more passionate for the heart of God? And I found that it could be a lack of a lot of different things, and it could be the presence of a lot of different things. But I've learned this week that passion really is a degree of intentional surrender, where you and I fall into a place where we just allow ourselves to release everything that is not of him. And that doesn't mean that it's necessarily bad, but it does mean that you drop bad things because they cannot coexist in the presence of who Yahweh is. And so as Moses was able to just honor the burning bush, how did he honor? Well, he gave it his time and attention. He locked in and noticed that there was more to this than a common occurrence. Yahweh desires to reveal himself in a way that you and I are able to recognize who he is. But I just want to encourage you that those things may not look like a light show in the sky in an open heaven. It may look like something natural. In Mobile, we are known for rainfall, and we get per capita either first or second place every year against Seattle, Washington for the most annual rainfall in a city. And it's like in this moment, I feel like my burning bush has been rain, and I can smell Yahweh's goodness when it rains. I can feel his goodness when it rains, and we get a lot of rain here. And so it could just be a common thing that's just, you know, a little bit of an inconvenience, if you will. It can be one of those things where, oh gosh, you know, my shoes are getting wet, my pants legs are getting wet, and I've got to carry an umbrella everywhere I go. Or it could be a constant reminder that Yahweh is pouring out his love. He is pouring himself out upon us, and there is an abundance of goodness that you and I were designed to be able to receive of. And I just declare today over you as you're listening to this, that your ears would not become calloused to His voice, that you would not allow the routine things to keep you from experiencing Yahweh's extravagant love for you and His words that He is speaking over you and the invitations that He is extending to you. And I just declare that there's a grace over your eyes today to see yourself differently, to see the Father differently, to see other people differently, that it would not be calloused, that all of these routine things that we go throughout the day would no longer become routine things, but we would be able to hear the voice in the middle of that common occurrence. So family, we are so grateful for your engagement. Thank you for your extended support. We love you. I'm so grateful for what Yahweh is doing, and can't wait to do this again. I hope you have a wonderful day.